Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Monday, July 17th, 2023. If you've been following the program, you know what's going on in Iran. There are trials now for all of the accused protesters, the peaceful protesters who stood up against the oppressive government, especially after Mahsa Amini was murdered almost a year ago on September 16th. One of those protesters is a world-famous rapper. He's an Iranian rapper. His name is Tumaj Salehi. He has a huge following, and his lyrics in his rap song are all anti-government, but he does it in a peaceful, very controlled way, getting his voice out over Iran and around the world. Well, back in October of last year, he was arrested and put in solitary confinement and has been beaten and tortured since then. Just a week ago, he finally was given a sentence. And it wasn't the death penalty, very grateful for that, but he was sentenced to 6 long years in prison, simply speaking out against the government. Now, I have some things I want to share with you about Tumaj, but right now I want you to listen to this detailed report. It's from Canada, and it talks about Tumaj Salehi and his sentencing. Let's listen.
And breaking news out of Iran this morning, that country's judiciary is sentencing a popular rapper to just over 6 years in prison. Tumaj Salehi is known as Son of Iran and uses his lyrics to openly criticize the regime. Now, one of the accusations against him came as a result of a conversation last year that he gave to a CBC journalist. He spoke in Persian about his role in an underground movement fighting online censorship in Iran amid growing protests. CBC published that conversation online and aired portions of it. Salehi was acquitted of a possible death penalty charge. Rebecca Collard is following the story from Berlin. Rebecca, what do we know about his charges?
Yeah, Chris, so first I heard from a cousin of Salehi early this morning. She wrote me to tell me that he had been sentenced to 6.5 years for the charge of corruption on Earth. Now, I think in some ways this was a little bit of a relief because of the fact, like you just said, Chris, you know, this charge could actually carry the death penalty. Now, the other thing that I think is significant, that according to his official Twitter account and also some comments made by his lawyer to an Iranian publication, these two other charges, one being colluding with a foreign government, which we believe is a charge that relates to this conversation that he had with a CBC journalist, and a second charge of insulting the leader of Iran's revolution and the leadership of Iran, both those charges for now seem to have been dropped. So I think there's some relief by this verdict, but what we're still hearing is that he will spend at least 6.5 years in prison for this charge, for his conviction and this charge of corruption on Earth, Chris.
And no doubt he has a lot of supporters. Rebecca, tell us what the reaction has been like.
Yeah, so, you know, I just actually spoke with a German member of parliament who is one of his political sponsors. Now, he has political sponsors around the world, including in Canada, including Canada's Minister of Natural Resources, Jonathan Wilkinson. And these people are members of parliament, usually senior political officials in foreign governments who advocate on behalf of him. And they have been doing that really since he was taken into custody last year. And why don't we listen to what she said about this verdict that we heard about today?
Now he only got like 6.5 years in prison. So many people tend to be relieved and think about it as a very positive outcome. But if you think about it, that we still don't know what the accusations are really and what he did wrong. And if you, and we are very convinced that he is innocent of everything that he is accused of, then 6.5 years are a lot.
Yeah, you know, she also, in this conversation with me, called it a perversion of the Iranian regime, that they've created this situation where a man who was imprisoned essentially for his criticism of that regime is now going to serve 6.5 years in prison, and there is a sense of relief among some of his supporters. But, you know, she was also very clear with me that his supporters, that his followers and people that are watching the situation in Iran should not be too happy about this verdict, and they should not let this verdict distract them, because, of course, the other thing is we know that Iranian prisons are very dangerous. She said that she told me that one of the good news that came out of this verdict as well is that he will be moved from solitary confinement into a normal prison, and that, of course, is good news. But Iranian prisons are very dangerous places. They are places where prisoners often die, and it's also important to remember, she said, you know, there are thousands of Iranians that are imprisoned, many of them because of political charges like this dissident rapper. And she said, despite this slight bit of relief, there needs to be a lot of attention both on his case and also on the case of all the other political prisoners that are in Iran at the moment, Chris.
Thank you for that update, Rebecca. Rebecca Collard in Berlin.
That is CBC News in Canada reporting on Tomas Salehi. And I would echo the sentiments, thank the Lord that it's not execution, because this regime is evil and rampant, and they have done it to athletes before. A few years ago, a wrestler well known all over the world was executed, taking part in the uprising and protests then. But the interviewer from Berlin is right. The prison conditions are awful there. If you have medical problems, most than likely you will die a silent death, silent execution, as they call it, because there is no medical attention given to you. So while we're thankful that it's not the death penalty, it's still not over for Salehi. He still has to face the harsh prison conditions, even though he's no longer in solitary confinement. Now, Heather, who is the co-author of my book, Uprising, Heather Joy and I meet every Sunday, and we are committed to praying for Iranians. And, of course, we have been praying for Tomas, intercessory prayer. And let me just describe this to you. We take authority, our legal authority that Christ has given us, who he gives it to his people, his church, that stand in the gap and pray. And we came against, be assigned to him. We stood against the forces of darkness and the principalities surrounding Tomas. And we are just elated and thankful and so encouraged that this, as a result of praying and as a result of God's grace and power through our praying, that Tomas was spared the death penalty. And we meet every Sunday, as I mentioned, and we are very thankful to God and the tools that he gives his prayer warriors. And it made a difference in this case. And we will continue to pray for Tomas's health, because he's been brutally tortured. And we will continue to pray for his release. But we believe that intercessory prayer does make a difference. And all glory to God, all glory to Jesus for that. But I say that to you, if you're a Christian and a person of prayer, just understand that God will move heaven and earth when we stand in the gap, because he's given us that awesome responsibility of prayer. And so this is a result of that. Another example of intercessory prayer, of seeing success, of seeing good news. This is the story of a Christian convert, a 64-year-old Christian convert who had advanced Parkinson's disease. Him and his wife were acquitted back in May and released from their combined 10-year prison sentence. Homayoun Zavi, and while I mentioned he had Parkinson's disease, while he was in prison, his health was deteriorating. His wife, Sarah, they had been detained in the men and women's wings of Tehran's Evin prison since August of last year, serving sentences of 2 and 8 years in prison for involvement in a house church. You know, it's illegal to convert from Islam to Christianity in Iran. It can bring the death penalty. So they had been suffering this long. They were first arrested back in 2019. They were sentenced in 2020. They were summoned to prison in 2021. They were told they can return home. But, as always, they were again summoned and detained. And they were retried. They went through it. We were praying for them as well. And as a result, they were released from Evin prison back in May. The appeal court judge in Iran said that gathering with people of one's own faith was natural, and having books related to Christianity was also an extension of their beliefs. He added that there was no evidence that Sarah and Homayoun had acted against the country's security or had connections with opposition groups or organizations. This is amazing in Iran to have this kind of sentence overturned. They were not recognized as criminals. Now, you have to understand, the norm in Iran is you're going to prison because you met in a house church and because you declare yourself to be a Christian. The appeal court found insufficient evidence that they had national security, which is the charge brought against all Christians, those who have converted from Islam to Christianity. And so this latest verdict, what this says is it shows the arbitrary nature of the ruling that has sent a considerable number of Christians to prison. For decades in Iran, intelligence institutions within the Islamic Republic have disregarded judicial process and the law of the land. They have exercised authority and control over judges. They have abused and exploited legal precepts. But this particular judge was on their side. And why do we say that? We say he was on their side because prayer, intercessory prayer, God turns the heart of the king any way he wants to turn it. That's what scripture says. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it any way he wants. And so good news for this couple. He was suffering from Parkinson's disease, and his wife, Sarah, stood by him all this time. That is some exciting good news. Now, I want to spend our remainder of time here going to a book that my dear Iranian friend, who is a refugee in Sweden, her name is Manoush Bakhtiari. We wrote a book together about 4 or 5 years ago entitled Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. On the front cover of the book is a picture of my Iranian friend, Manoush. Her arms are extended out by her side. She's looking up in a position of prayer and thanksgiving. It's called Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. And in the beginning of the book, I talk about the power of prayer. And Andrew Murray, one of the great prayer warriors from centuries ago, said, we must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and can bring its power down to earth. Isn't that the truth? It reminds me of the times that Heather and I prayed faithfully for Tomas, and we're going to pray for his release. But God honored our prayer, and he was not put to death. We thank the Lord for that. God honored our prayers in the case of these two young, this couple in Iran, Hamouyan and his wife Sarah. He had Parkinson's disease. They were ridiculed. They were harassed. They were persecuted. But God intervened as a result of prayer, and they are free in the sense that they're not in prison, and in the sense that they no longer have to go to prison and suffer under those conditions. That is an answer to prayer. In the book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, Manoush had, before we met, she wrote these personal letters entitled Dear God. And from these personal letters, I came up with the title of the book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. I want you to hear Manoush in this personal setting praying to God. Dear God, I'm writing to you because I have a very special request. This isn't your typical prayer because I'm not asking for something small. I'm not asking for you to intervene and restore peace in the growing number of war-torn countries, to end world hunger and poverty, to heal disease, or to make my dream come true, although all of those would be awesome. But I'm asking for a miracle. In fact, this is the biggest, most significant, and most important thing I've ever asked for. When I was a child, my mother used to tell me, a clean white painting canvas is bestowed by God at the beginning of his or her life. Once he lets everyone have enough paint and a brush, he whispers the word, goal, in his or her ear, and then lets us be free to be the artist of our own life. As I grew up and learned more about the real meaning of life, goals, and freedom, I realized life was not simply a room with two windows, but there are thousands of them. Then I imagined looking out of the window of desperation. I felt like I was about to cry. I imagined if I looked out of the window of hopelessness, I could change the whole world. Accordingly, when I imagined looking out of a closed window, then I could sense how dingy and dark the world would be. And when I opened the window, I then realized how stunning and massive the whole world was. But we didn't live very long, and I don't have time to look out every window of life. But it seems the windows before my eyes have been shut for years, and I can't see the farthest horizon of my life. My world in my motherland has been dingy and dark for years, and I didn't realize this until I was growing up. Dear God, 40 years ago we experienced a revolution that convinced that we would truly be free, but we were naive in our thinking. We believed freedom was nothing more than free electricity and water in our homes, our free bus passes. Instead, we lost our true freedom and instead became enslaved to an Islamic ideology. Now, after 40 years, we have learned the painful lesson that we recklessly sacrificed our freedom. Without freedom, there will be no books and authorship, no understanding and perception, no science and knowledge, no hope or optimism, no economy and progress, and no bright future. Instead, we are prisoners of a dictatorship, gazing at the progress and freedom of the rest of the world through our windows, our window of despair. Dear Lord, we are crying out for freedom. My people are hungry and thirsty, but all we can do is dream about it. These days, no one can sense the scent of life. And I've come to realize that you are alone. You alone are our only hope to be free from this captivity. There is no light left for us in the darkness, and we have lost all hope. We beg you to give us back the freedom we had in the glory days of our old Persian Empire. We have learned the agonizing lesson that the precious gift of freedom can never be compromised and never be exchanged for false promises. My dear God, I truly love you, and I know you can hear the cries of my heart, and you understand that this prayer is not just my prayer alone, but it is the cry the shout of millions of Iranians who are exhausted from their captivity and are waiting for their true captainship to come and rescue them from this desert island of torture and death. Please hear our prayers and liberate us from this prison, your humble child, Manoush. Wow. That is what Manoush wrote in her Dear God letters in my book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. Psalm 5, verses 1 through 2 says, O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to no one but you. And James 5:16 in the New Living Translation, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I believe with all of my heart that that heartfelt cry and prayer of Manoush in her Dear God letters is going to be answered. I join with my Iranian friend in crying out for hope and freedom to all Iranians. I wanted to think of a way to Tomash because he's a rapper, and I thought of the American counterpart to Tomash. His name is Toby Mac, and this is a song, I'm sure you'll recognize it. It's dedicated to Tomash in his perilous situation. It's called Speak Life.
Feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips in the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. You say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life.
That is amazing. That is such a good song. Toby Mac, the American counterpart to the Iranian rapper Tomash Salehi, Speak Life. The Bible teaches us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so this morning, in the concluding minutes of this program, I speak life and freedom to Tomash Salehi in prison. I declare his release. I declare his freedom in the name of Jesus. I speak life to this man, to this voice of Iran, who refuses to be silent even in spite of the torture and the agony and the things that he's been through. I speak life to him. I agree with my dear Iranian friends who are joining me in prayer that life and health and freedom is on the horizon for Tomash. And would you join me today in speaking life to Tomash, declaring his help, his healing, his freedom this morning? This is what we do when we gather together. The Bible teaches us, James 5:16, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results, New Living Translation. That is what we do as a community. God has honored the prayers of Heather and I as we have labored together every Sunday, speaking life and hope and healing and freedom to Tomash. Now we know that the next event on the horizon is his freedom. I believe, and we talked about this last night, he will not be there 6 years. I wholeheartedly believe that God is going to open those prison doors like he did for Peter, and he will walk out a free man. He will show his favor, just as Yeshua showed his favor for the couple that was recently released from Evan prison. He is a God of great compassion, great favor. Dear God, please bring freedom to Iran. I hope this morning that I have encouraged you in the arena of prayer. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your darkness is that you're going through, understand this. God hears the prayer of a righteous person, and the prayer of a righteous person produces great power and wonderful results. This is a humble privilege that God has given us to boldly come to the throne of grace and pray. I want to thank you so much for spending time with me this morning, and of course, I'm going to end with asking you to keep Tomash Salehi in your prayers. And maybe very soon I can say here on the cross in the desert, he is free. God bless you. See you again on Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Have a great rest of the week.